නමෝතස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝතස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝතස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ සම්මාදිට්ඨි ආනන්ද භාවිතා බහුලී කතා රාග විනය පරියෝසානා හෝති දෝෂ විනය පරියෝසානා හෝති මෝහ විනය පරියෝසානා හෝති ඉති. Dear Dhamma friends, as you all know, we are discussing Brahmana Sutta, and this is also called as Janussoni Brahmana Sutta, and this basically explains about the value of the Noble Eightfold Path. So in one occasion the Brahmin Janussoni is going through the Shravasti, and at that time Venerable Ananda was on Pindapatha, arms round. And this particular time when Brahmin Janussoni was adorned with completely white clothing, and his chariot also in white upholstering, and the canopy that also in white color, and again the used horses are also in white color, and even the reins and the stick used for the horses are also in white color. The charioteer also wearing white color clothes, and even the sandals were worn by Janussoni is also in white color. So everything is in white color. So therefore the people were amazed after seeing this sight, and they actually exclaimed that this is a divine vehicle, this is a Brahma vehicle. So this sight was seen by Venerable Ananda, and he saw the response from the people, and after coming back from arms round, he informed this incident to the Buddha, and he made a request asking, is it possible to connect this with the Buddha's teaching, and is it possible to pronounce a kind of a vehicle in the Dhamma as well, this kind of a vehicle in Dhamma as well. Then Buddha said yes. So divine vehicle, Brahma vehicle, Dhamma vehicle is a synonym for the Noble Eightfold Path. So this is the Noble Eightfold Path, the Dhamma vehicle, Brahma vehicle, divine vehicle, which is used for the complete destruction of various defilements in the battlefield of the samsara. Now if one is using this particular vehicle, then it seems like we are able to cross to the other shore. Now we are going through one by one in these path factors, and now we are in the first path factor, that is the Sammaditti, right view. Actually we were discussing this for a long time, now I think 4 weeks. I hope to conclude this today, and today actually I directly like to start from the supramundane type of Sammaditti. So Buddha mentioned that there are two types of Sammaditti, that is the first one related to the mundane type of Sammaditti. That is called Attibhikkave Sammaditti Sasava Punyabhagya Upadive Pakka. There is a kind of right view which is mundane, and it is providing or resulting in the wholesome repercussions, consequences, and again it is also giving various acquisitions, and still it is with some taints. By the way, it is a good one in the sense that in the long samsara it may provides us various acquisitions. Now you know, as we are wandering in the samsara, if we have good health, if we have wealth and various other skills, good skills, then we can at least have a comfortable life. So those comforts are being able to get in case if we have this mundane type of Sammaditti. And then Buddha goes on to the second type of Sammaditti. So that is called supramundane type of Sammaditti. So in the supramundane type of Sammaditti, Buddha mentioned Arya Anasava Lokuttara Magganga. There is another type of Sammaditti that is noble, and it is free from taints. It is free from taints. And again, Arya Anasava Lokuttara, and it is Supramundane and Magganga. It is a path factor. So now this is actually an interesting part that we are discussing several weeks now. And this is the Lokuttara or the Supramundane type of Samadhi that Buddha is teaching. So this is a particular type of view, correct view. Actually, it is an evolving view. It is not a kind of a fixed view. Rather, it has to be evolved. It has to be improved. It has to be developed. So Buddha defines it very clearly in the Mahachattarisaka Sutta, available in Majjhima Nikaya. And there Buddha mentioned Panya, Panyindriyang, Panya Balang, Dhamma Vichaya Sambojjhango, Sammadhitti Magganga. So this represents kind of a linear relationship or kind of a progressing relationship, and they are put it in the ascending order. One may start with very say subtle or less level of panya. We can say it's a kind of a seed of panya, seed of wisdom, and then one is developing that wisdom according to the Buddha's teaching, and by developing according to Buddha, in the various practices, especially in the meditative practice. So if one, say for example, if one develops anapanasati, so once the mindfulness is well established, so he has to inquire, he has to investigate the breath. So this investigation, this sort of searching, this examining, actually causes Dhamma vichaya, as well as basically the wisdom to grow. So there actually we use the term sampajanya, where we are trying to clearly know the object. So at this level we call it as primary object, and now we are trying to clearly know it. So this clearly knowing helps to plant the seed of wisdom. So this further improves, and then one will understand there's a quality called panya, there's a quality called investigation, and that may be available at some time, at maybe not be available at another time. So likewise, one may have some understanding about the presence and absence of this kind of a capacity, kind of a skill, kind of a strength in one's mind. So that is where he now has a distinct quality called panya, distinct quality called wisdom, where he can recognize it as a separate quality. Like we recognize mindfulness as a separate quality available in our mind. So this panya, wisdom, is another kind of quality that we can recognize in our mind. So this quality has to be improved. So that is why Buddha mentioned it starts with panya, kind of a root level, beginning level, clearly knowing. And then one develops it to the faculty of panya, panyindriya. And then one develops to the power of panya, power of wisdom. So that is the panya bala. And then one develops it to the level of dhamma vichaya sambojjhanga. That is the investigation factor of awakening. So at this level, actually one's path is well directed towards the nibbana. Now his aim is basically to attain nibbana or to realize nibbana. And even during the say in the present moment, he is as much as possible maintaining a fair amount of wisdom in order to sort of experience certain facets or certain qualities of Nibbana. So likewise, his whole drive, his whole momentum, or his whole objective is now towards the Nibbana. And he further develops, and then he is coming to the path factor, that is the Sammadhitti. So in this Sammadhitti, now we were discussing various aspects, and we then talked about how a Micchaditti going to develop. If one have to have a Micchaditti, wrong view, so first of all he has to have kind of a grasping onto the five aggregates, at least one aggregate. If one grasps the form aggregate, if he is continuing to grasp like that, holding that kind of a grasping long time, and that can lead to a wrong view. Similarly, if one grasps feeling aggregate, again and again he is having kind of a strong grasping about the feeling aggregate, it can lead to a wrong view. So likewise, we discuss how a wrong view could be developed. And then we went on to Kacchanugatha Sutta. And this is a very important sutta where directly the question is asked. Sammāditti sammāditti bhante ucchati kittāvatānuko bhante sammāditti ucchati. So a venerable called Kacchana, he went to the Buddha and then he directly asked, Bhante, this is sammāditti, sammāditti is referred or used, how one can become sammādittika, how one can become a person with right view. So then Buddha actually explains it in a very beautiful manner, very descriptive manner, how typically our mind is conditioned in the typical way of the beings are thinking in a particular manner, in a particular pattern. There Buddha mentioned, Dvainisato kwayam kacchana loko yebuhiyena. So typically our mind is attached to one extreme, either to one extreme or to the other extreme. So there are two sides always, either to the existence or to the non-existence, either to the on side or to the off side, either to the good side or to the bad side, either to the, say, short side or to the long side, either to the fat side or to the lean side, either to the white side or to the black side. Likewise, our mind has a kind of a tendency to attach towards any of these extremes. So to there are, typically there are two extremes, either existing or non-existence, non-existence, attikam, atti or natthi, and our mind typically operates in one of these extremes, associating one of these extremes. So this is one pattern or tendency that Buddha explained in this sutta. And similarly, our mind has a kind of a tendency to attach to something. Upaya upadana chetaso adhitthana abhinivesa anusaya. So these are the points that Buddha mentioned in this sutta, where our mind either come closer to something, or he the mind go and attach with something, cling to something, grasping something, or else mind go and adhere to something. So now it is very much like going into something, now living in that, dwelling in that. And then abhinivesa, or even one can have a kind of a mental standpoint about a particular view, about a particular thing, about particular person. So likewise we have some sort of a standpoint, our opinion about something. So this is also a kind of a grasping. And again, if one is associating this kind of various objects again and again for a long time, the qualities of those objects are prone to come to the mind. Now when a particular quality being associated for a long, long time, so certain qualities of that particular object being projected or being transferred to the mind. So even without that object, now mind has already gained certain qualities of that object. Now we are in a way a kind of a big trouble, even though we are able to detach from something. So since we associated that for long, long time, certain qualities are being inherent to ourselves. Now they are very much like inherited to our mind. So to remove that inherited qualities or latent tendencies or the projected qualities, transferred qualities, we have to work out in another way. So those are the areas that Buddha mentioned here. So these are the kind of tendencies in our mind. So therefore Buddha, in a way, giving a kind of a broader view about this Sammāditti and profound way of eliminating all these kind of tendencies, Buddha mentioned that how one may be able to release oneself from the two views, two extremes. So one is the vipassana. So when one is developing vipassana, say for example, one is developing vedanānupassana. So one may be able to notice the arising side of various feelings. Again and again, one's concentrated mind being focused onto various feelings. It may be pleasurable feelings, it may be painful feelings, it may be equanimous feelings. So again and again, when they are arising, so one is keeping that focused attention to all these arising feelings. So he again and again able to experience this, how various feelings are arising. So if one say there are no feelings at all, then he can't accept it, because he very well know, he very well experience the arising aspect of the feelings. So therefore he can't grasp the wrong view, that is, feelings does not exist. Rather, he understands feelings are existing, or rather feelings are arising, at least. Feelings are arising. On the other hand, once these feelings are arisen, so they constantly pass away. They don't last for a long time. They are not everlasting. They are not permanent. Rather, they are very inconstant, impermanent, transient. They quickly pass away. Now, if one is observing this passing away, Nirodha, again and again, so then one's mind cannot associate or establish on the wrong view or the extreme that things exist. Because he very well knows things are passing away. Very quickly, they destroy, they disintegrate. As a result, one can't say things are existing, things are permanent. So as a result of that, Buddha mentioned here, if one is practicing this samudaya dhamma anupassīva kāyasmin viharati, vaya dhamma anupassīva kāyasmin viharati, samudaya vaya dhamma anupassīva kāyasmin viharati. To understand the arising aspect of various phenomena, it could be various bodily phenomena, it could be various feelings, it could be various mental formations, various mental qualities, various thoughts, whatever it is. If one is able to experience or clearly know as one's own experience that they are subjected to arising, then he cannot establish himself in the notion of things does not exist. On the other hand, when he clearly know, clearly understand, clearly experience that things are constantly passing away, they disappear, they dissolve, then he can't establish himself in the notion of things exist. So as a result of that, now he is free from both extremes. Now, similarly, Buddha mentioned, without taking these two extremes, now Buddha gives a teaching or preach a teaching that is the dependent arising. When things exist, then there's a possibility of another thing to exist. When things passing away, that arisen thing also passes away. So likewise, a kind of a causal relationship is there. So that was what actually we were discussing towards the last part of last week discussion. And that is where Buddha introduced this dependent arising, paticca-samuppada. It is not something far from us. It is not some sort of a dogmatic belief. Rather, we have to experience it. We have to clearly know this teaching. Experientially, we should try to understand this paticca-samuppada. It is also called idappacceta. This happens because this. So in simple terms, Buddha mentioned here, so I have taken this part, what I am highlighting here, from another sutta called Panchavera Bhaya Sutta. So there Buddha mentioned, so this noble theory or this noble principle, one should clearly know. Thoroughly one should know. And he should know practically, experientially, not through a book. You can learn it from a book, but you should practically know it. So this is very important. So most of us may be able to memorize the 12 parts or 12 factors, and we can directly tell that. It doesn't mean that we have understood paticca-samuppada. So in order to understand paticca-samuppada, we have to take kind of an easy link, and then with that easy link we have to use it in the practical form, and we have to understand how it is really related, how we can experience that relationship. So first of all, we need to understand the theory, the principle. The principle is iti imasmin sati idang hoti imasuppada idang uppajjati. That means when this exists, that comes to be. When this exists, that comes to be. Imasupada idam uppajjati. When this is arising, that also arises. So you can see the causal relationship. This causes that, or this causes another thing. It is not that without any cause, various things are arising. Due to causes, things are arising. Actually, here prominence is given to a one reason or one cause, but it's a multiple causes. But for easy understanding, we are taking the most prominent cause, and as a result, we say, okay, because of this, that comes to be. Similarly, imasmin asati idam na hoti. When this does not exist, when this does not exist, that also does not exist. That also can't exist. For the existence of this, the availability of that is important because they are interrelated. They are depending each other. And similarly, imassa nirodha idam nirujjati. With the cessation of this, that also ceases. Now this is the principle that we need to understand. This principle has to be applied to any duet or any two parts in the paticca samuppanna anga, the causally arisen parts. Say for example, avijja paccaya sankhara. So if we apply the principle to this avijja paccaya sankhara, so that means, so we have to say, when avijja exists, sankhara comes to be. And with the arising of avijja, ignorance, sankhara also arises. And then when avijja does not exist, sankhara do not come to be. And when avijja, ignorance, ceases, then the sankhara also ceases. Say for example, if we take another couple, sankhara paccaya vijnana. So if we apply the theory, if we apply the principle to that couple, to that two parts, when sankhara formations exist, then the consciousness comes to be. And with the arising of sankhara, consciousness arises. And when sankhara does not exist, consciousness does not come to be. And similarly, when sankhara ceases, consciousness also ceases. So likewise, this principle should be able to apply to any of the couple, any of the duet, any of the two components. So this is the principle that we need to very clearly understand. And in order to penetrate this understanding, in order to well establish this understanding, we have to practically use or practically know this theory. Say for example, if we take passa paccaya vedana, when contact arises, the feeling also arises. With the arising of contact, feeling arises. When contact is there, feeling comes to be. When the contact ceases, feeling also ceases. And when there is no contact, there can't be any feeling. So likewise, we can apply that principle to passa paccaya vedana. The contact causes feeling. And we can try to know this part during our meditation. Say for example, if you are doing walking meditation, so there are, you can say, when your foot is touching the ground, as the foot contact with the ground, so there's a kind of a knowing, there's a kind of a feeling. So this contact causes that particular feeling. It could be a equanimous feeling. Say for example, you are keeping one hand on top of the other. Because of that contact, there is a feeling. So likewise, this contact causes feeling. So it is not a very difficult thing to understand. But important thing is, again and again, we need to know this. Whenever we are doing, say, practicing walking meditation, if we want to emphasize this causal relationship, we have to keep our attention on this causal reaction. How contact causes feeling. again and again, whenever the foot is touching the ground, so we get the feeling. Before that, there is no strong feeling, but when it is touching the ground, that feeling can be felt very clearly. Similarly, say for example, feeling causes craving. Vedana paccaya tanha. That is also another interesting part that we can know. So as we practice, meditation, mindfulness, so when we are going through some sort of a blissful experience, sometimes all the pains were disappeared, now we are feeling quite comfortable and the body appear like floating, so it's very lighter and the whole body is going through very pleasant sensations, pleasant feelings, mind also quite calm, lighter. So at this time, there's a very pleasant aspect of feeling, and probably as a result of that, there is a possibility of arising tanha, arising a desire for this state. So because of feeling, pleasant feeling, there are the tanha, the craving arises. If there is no such feeling, there is no such tanha, craving as well. So not only during the meditation, but even in the day-to-day activities, whenever various pleasant feelings are arising, we can see the tendency that how much we like it, how much we want to keep it, how much we want to possess it, how much we want to grasp it. So automatically we go and grasp it. I don't need to immediately even think that I want to grasp it, I want to keep it. Immediately we have a tendency that we go and grasp, the mind go and grasp. So once grasping is there, the desire is there, so we can recognize how this desire arises, how this grasping arises. So tanha paccaya upadana, once the desire is there, so we go and cling, the grasping is there. So these components, these parts, so therefore we can recognize during our daily activities, during our daily practice, during our meditation session. So how a pleasant feeling causes craving to arise, a desire to arise. And as a result, how we go and grasp it, how we are trying to go and hold it. So this we can actually recognize. So when we are holding, so that means we are no more in the present moment. Now our mind has become that. Whatever state, assume it is a very pleasant state. Now we have lost the present moment. Now we have lost the equanimous moment. Instead, now mind has become that pleasant feeling. So I become that. I am that. Is this kind of a becoming, this kind of a grasping. So now I have something to grasp. So mind has become that. So this is how becoming process happens. This upadana paccaya abhava. They are the clinging causes, some sort of a becoming, some sort of a new existence. And this is how it is arising. This is how one is reborn to that existence. So when this new state is there, so we are reborn to it. Bhava paccaya jati. We are reborn to it. Now we are experiencing it. Now we are going through it. And in day-to-day activities, we can know this. Suppose that we want to have ice cream. So we get that desire. And as a result, and we are even imagining. Now kind of ignorance is there. If I have this ice cream, so I may have a very beautiful, pleasant sensation. I may enjoy it. So this kind of thoughts are now going on. Now the various formations are happening inside the mind. So as a result of that, various consciousness arise. As a result, kind of a nama rupa, that is the name and form, various images, mental images are also now happening in the mind. So you can even trace or notice certain images of the ice cream in the mind. You not yet you have tasted it, but now you are imagining certain thoughts of various, say, brands of ice creams, and again various memories which you have experienced an ice cream. So those are now coming to the mind. So now mind get involved in that, more and more thinking happens. Nama rupa paccaya salayatana. So when those initial triggering happens in the mind. Now the mind start to think. So the manayatana start to exist. Now basically manayatana now carry on the momentum. It's catching the momentum. Now again and again thinking. Now even certain, say, watering of the mouth may happen. Now that is the jivayatana. The tongue also now into the action. Now we are walking towards the refrigerator. Suppose we have it already. So we are now going to the refrigerator. Now the body also come into the action. Now we are taking it. And salayatana paccaya passa. Now we are in contact with it. Now suppose we are taking some amount of ice cream to our cup. Now we start to taste it. Now the taste is there. Now the tongue is now in the action. Now there's a very pleasurable feeling. Passapaccaya vedana. Pleasurable feeling is there. Because ice cream now touches the tongue. So as a result of that, now a pleasurable feeling is there. Now we really like it. Now we are enjoying it. Now we are delighted by that tasty. The taste of this ice cream. It is delicious. Now I want to have more. Now while tasting it, now I have a desire to have it more and more. Now I am grasping it, holding it. I may even close my eyes, want to enjoy it. Now I am having a seat, properly sit down, close my eyes. Even little by little I am enjoying it. Now I am in a ice cream world. Now you are reborn in this tasty world. You can't beat the feeling. So that's an advertisement also telling like that. So likewise, now we are in a delicious world. Now we are reborn in the delicious world. Suppose now we are living in that delicious world for a while. And after some time, ice cream finishes. So we eaten it completely. Oh, now everything finished. It has gone. The pressure has gone because no more ice cream available. So if you eat more, you may blame by your husband, you may blame by your children, you may blame by your parents, so you can't eat more, so you are now little unhappy about it. So the jara marana soka parideva dukkha domana supayasa sambhavanti. Various kinds of unhappiness, frustration, despair to different levels can arise in the mind because the state that we were is quite impermanent, it can't last forever. So after a while it may finish, it may complete, it may ends. As a result of that, that temporary happiness has gone. So I have taken a very simple example, but this is common to everywhere. Whenever we do this kind of a grasping, so this kind of a becoming is evident. Again and again this happens. Now, likewise, if we are able to understand this, how this arising side happens in the Patisamuppada, how ignorance causes various formations, how formations causes consciousness, various consciousness, that is the causal consciousness or conditioned consciousness to arise, and then how it is making kind of a mental images, name and form available in the mind, and we consider those as correct and true. As a result, now our hands, legs, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, everything coming to action, salayatana, and using which actually we take some action, we move forward, or we start to talk, we start to enjoy whatever it is, we start to think, and as a result, so we get various feelings, contact and various feelings, and then kind of craving, desire, and then grasping. After that, we are living in a different world, in a different state. We have lost the present moment. Now we are in a mind-made world, enjoying world, delighted world. And that also stay for a while, last for a while, and then that also finishes. And then we have to come back to that, say, boring state where we were. So likewise, what happened is, whenever we feel bored, we again and again want to become something else. Suppose you are watching a movie, and as it is becoming somewhat boring,
So you want to switch to the other movie, maybe available in another channel. If it is also becoming bored, say you are switching to another channel, suppose it may be showing some news. So you are eating that, you are enjoying that. Suppose that becomes somewhat boring, say now you switch to another channel. It may be showing various songs. So now you are enjoying those songs. If you feel bored, again you switch to another channel. Suppose it is showing you a comedy. Now you are enjoying that comedy show. Suppose if you feel bored in that, now you want to switch to something else. So likewise, we are constantly jumping from this experience to that experience. We can't endure the complete cycle of any experience. Rather, whenever we feel bored, we want to start a new experience. So we never live complete. Rather, we are jumping from one to the other, always associating the rising side, samudaya side, rising side, and never experiencing the cessation. Now, actually, in the Buddha's teaching, he asks us to experience the complete or the whole cycle. Not only the arising, but also the cessation. So that's why, suppose you do Vedanupassana, so there you need to know how clearly these feelings are arising. Not only that, you need to know clearly how they are passing away. Arising and passing away, both sides should be known very clearly. Say you are experiencing various thoughts. So you should know, or you should notice how thoughts are arising, how thoughts are comes to be. And similarly, how they disappear, how they passes away. Likewise, both aspects has to be known, has to be observed. Then only one may have a clear picture about the reality. Now, on the other hand, if one is able to maintain unattached mind, a mind free from any kind of an attachment, any kind of a grasping, so that is, we can say to fair extent, it is a developed mind. So where one has clearly known the consequences of this grasping, and one has clearly known the impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, self, non-self nature of the phenomena, and as a result of that, dispassion has arisen, and now one is able to maintain one's mind in a dispassionate manner, in a non-grasping manner, not holding manner, unassociated manner, one is able to maintain one's mind. So that actually leads to another level of the development of samadhi. So say for example, if you are able to maintain a mind free from grasping, now you can say you are very well in the samadhi. Because if you can remember that Micchaditti Sutta, so Buddha very clearly mentioned there, so in order to arise Micchaditti, wrong view, either you have to grasp or adhere to forms, either you have to grasp or adhere to feelings, either you have to grasp or adhere to various, say, perceptions, signs, marks, either you have to grasp or adhere to various formations, sankhara, or either you have to grasp or adhere to various consciousness, different types of knowing. But if you are keeping your mind completely free from any grasping, you are not grasping forms, you are not grasping perceptions, you are not grasping formations, you are not grasping signs or perceptions, you are not grasping various knowing, consciousness, then your mind is free. You are not grasping anything at all. So then we can say there is no sign of Micchaditti at all, and you are in the Sammaditti side. So that is where you may understand, if you are able to maintain such non-grasping state in the mind for a while, again and again you are practicing such state for a while, then you will understand, okay, how troublesome is to have these formations, to do various constructs in the mind, to do various fabrications in the mind. So it's a kind of a burden to the mind. It's a kind of a troublesome, it's a kind of a tiresome process. Unknowingly we were doing it, but once you experience some calmness, peacefulness, clarity, say unassociated state of mind, then you will understand all these formations, all these creations, all these constructions, all these fabrications is a kind of a trouble to the mind, is a kind of a burden to the mind. So why not I keep the mind fairly clean, fairly clear, free from any formations, free from any kind of a sankhara, free from any kind of a fabrication. So this is where one may switch to another level of samadhitti. That Buddha mentioned, samadhittim bhaveti viveka nisitam, viraga nisitam, nirodha nisitam vasanga parinami. So I have highlighted it here. So one may start to live a life as much as possible associating seclusion. Seclusion in the sense the mind is secluded. It is not that you are trying to be secluded. You also should be able to seclude time to time. But especially how to keep the mind secluded. Not attached with the forms, not attached with the various perceptions, not attached with various formations, not attached with any sort of feelings, or not attached with any kind of conditioned consciousness. How a mind can exist without any of these graspings, without any of these attachments, bindings. So that mind we can say viveka, seclusion. So that mind associates seclusion. Viraga, so that mind is not interested of grasping, not interested of kind of passionately holding things, not interested of passionately going after things, rather it now has established on dispassion, viraga. Similarly, whenever things happen, so this mind allows them to cease, rather than jumping to the arising side. So whatever is arising, he knows very well, it is some sort of an unsatisfactory nature, so let it pass away. So this mind now allows things to happen and to take their own cessation. Allow them to take their own natural cessation, naturally die. So he is not now putting his hand or to intervene in the process. He knows very well now things are arising and they are passing away. They have that nature, that is their conditioned nature. So I don't need to interrupt them. So you simply allow them to cease. So you are allowing things to naturally cease, rather than you forcefully try to get rid of them or forcefully try to hold them. You simply allow them to naturally cease. So therefore one is associating such nirodha and vasagga parinami. That is where one is simply sort of motivated in a way to relinquish, maturing in release. So more and more the mind is letting go, mind is not holding, mind has changed its direction towards letting go, non-grasping. So this now a yogi, a practitioner is further developing. So that is where Buddha mentioned, katamachananda bhikkhu kalyana mitto kalyana sahayo kalyana sampavanko ariyang attangikam maggam bhaveti ariyang attangikam maggam bahuli karoti. So Buddha mentioned, and how Ananda does a bhikkhu who has a good friend, a good companion, a good comrade, develop and cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Now this is a kind of a statement that Buddha mentioned here. So this requires some kind of a, say, guidance. So if Buddha has not taught this lesson, none of us would be able to understand its benefits. So this kind of a practice may not create any kind of a conceit or any kind of a self-view, any kind of an ego, any kind of a grasping. Rather, it may quieten the mind. It may calm down the mind. It makes the mind peaceful. So therefore, Buddha has taught the lesson. Buddha has mentioned the path. So he clearly understood it, he lived in it, and he has shown the path. He has sort of given us directions. As a result, now his followers are also continuing in that direction. So that is where we associated a Kalyana Mitta. So Buddha is the supreme Kalyana Mitta, the best friend. So he has given the guidance, he has given the directions. So now we are following as say humble followers. So we respect him, we believe him, we have the faith, and we also now to some extent experience it. Now we are continuing that. So how we are continuing? As much as possible, keeping the mind free from any grasping. As much as possible, keeping the mind free from any association. Free from any kind of an association. So the mind is resting in the seclusion. And now the mind has kind of a dispassion. And again, mind is attuned to letting go. So therefore Buddha mentioned, so this is how further one is developing samadhi. So therefore we can summarize here that samadhi is a really evolving quality. First of all, one has to let go all the bad habits, bad unwholesome deeds, and establish oneself in the mundane type of samadhi. And then one has to start develop supramundane type of samadhi. So that supramundane type of samadhi has to increase or has to develop in one's mind more and more. So ultimately, one may reach to the higher levels of samadhi where the mind is not much associating various things. Rather, mind is attuned to let go, not holding, not association, not grasping, and to maintain freedom. So this is how Buddha explained samadhi. And with that note, I like to conclude today's sutta teaching. Now I open the session for questions.
Send them to me via chat. So Bente, we have one question from last week that we didn't get to.
Right.
That question is, Bente, if everything is rising and falling instantly, how can define the present moment?
Yeah, present moment is a moment. It is not a 1 minute, it is not a 1 hour, it is not a 1 day. Rather, it's a moment. So that's why it's a momentary process. So this moment is very transient. So it's a continuously arising and passing away is how things are manifesting. So there is no any kind of an, we can't say that things are existing for a long time. So we see that things exist because we can't comprehend the impermanent nature, transient nature. So that is why we need the very refined mindfulness, and that is why we need a clear comprehension, well concentrated mind, in order to see or in order to understand that transient nature. Say for example, if you are keeping your attention on feelings, so at the beginning you might feel or you might experience like certain feelings last for a long time, say a kind of a painful feeling. Now you are paying your attention, and you may think that particular painful feeling lasts for a while. But if you again and again continue a practice and improve your clear comprehension, there you might understand, so this is not a single feeling. This is not a single painful feeling. So inside this single painful feeling, there are a collection of minute feelings. So the resultant effect is what we experienced as a painful feeling. But internally, if we clearly analyze it, clearly do some sort of a thin slicing of time, if we improve our resolution, then we may be able to understand, okay, it's a collection of minute feelings. It may be 100,000s of small feelings, and none of them last for a long time. They are quite transient. They quickly arise, quickly passes away, very rapid. Altogether, it manifests as a painful feeling. So this is how we have to clearly understand. So that is where Buddha actually give a picture or a simile of a rain. So when a rain drops, touches a water surface, a water bubble may arise and then quickly burst. Another raindrop touches the water surface, another water bubble arise and quickly burst. Suppose now you are experiencing a heavy rain. So there are very quickly thousands of water bubbles arise and burst. So this is the picture that Buddha gives for feelings. This is an analogy Buddha gives for feelings. So similarly, if we are able to refine our mindfulness and focus our attention very carefully, we might be able to understand this transient nature. So therefore, we can't say there is a lasting moment. The moment is kind of a momentary process. Yeah. Okay, we can go to the other question.
Thank you, Bante. So, dear Bante, it seems like the arising is much more prominent and much more easy to note than the ceasing. Is it true that the ceasing of phenomenon, generally speaking, is much more subtle than the arising of a phenomenon?
Basically, we start with knowing the arising side, but as you continue to notice the arising, so your mindfulness start to get refined. So one advantage of that is slowly you will understand how things cease as well, because this arising aspect is also very subtle. So we are slowly refining our mindfulness, refining our concentration, and as a result of that, we are able to clearly know the arising aspect. So this clear comprehension can be used even to the ceasing side as well. So then you may understand, okay, they cease as well. They quickly cease as well. So it may come to you. You may be able to notice it. You may be able to understand it. And even if you keep your attention to various thoughts, so there, even it is not that difficult, I feel, where because you can understand how thoughts comes to be, how thoughts arise, or how thoughts comes. And if you are not attaching to them, they simply go. They simply fade away. They simply disappear. So you can notice this disappearance. You can notice this fading away. Suppose there's a lustful thought, and you notice how it is arising. Your mind was, say, peaceful, there was no lust, but now there is a lustful thought. Now you feel, you understand, okay, now there is a lustful thought arisen. Suppose you are not supporting it, you are not strengthening it, you are not finding any delight in it, then it may lose its power and it may naturally cease, naturally fades away. Now there you are experiencing the fading away. There you are experiencing cessation. So again and again you got to experience this cessation, this passing away of all the various kinds of thoughts. Now if you give more prominence to notice this cessation, most probably you are able to understand, okay, they are ceasing, passing away. So there you are able to understand the passing away. Yeah.
Thank you, Bante. I'd like to invite Julia to please ask the next question. Sorry if I'm pronouncing your name incorrectly. Feel free to correct me, please.
Bante.
Yes.
My apologies. Is this question. I joined this few minutes back. So I just want to know, Bante, is this from some other people?
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
I joined this program few minutes back.
Uh-huh.
I didn't listen in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
Is this coming from Samaditti Sutra?
No. Actually, we have taken a different sutta that is called Brahmana Sutta. This is available in the Magga Samyutta, Samyutta Nikaya. And actually, I have uploaded this to our website, so you can download. You can download this. Actually, not today's lesson or today's teaching I have uploaded, but last week session I have uploaded. But after a while, I will upload today's one as well. So, yeah.
Brahmana Sutra.
Brahmana Sutra. Yeah.
So if I go to Nisvaranavanaya
website,
I
yeah.
can get it.
Yes.
Right. I also want to know one thing. You have you done this Sammadhitti Sutra by any chance?
No.
And all right. Okay, Bhante. I'm so sorry for taking your time.
No problem. Yeah, no problem.
I just sent you the link to the past recordings, so you may find it there.
Okay. Thank you, Jennifer.
You're welcome. So for the next question, I'd like to invite Pri.
Tirumal Sarnai, Venerable Bhante, can you hear me?
Yes.
Venerable Bhante, I apologize for my ignorance here, but I can't relate dependent origination and karma together.
Uh-huh.
I feel like they contradict each other.
Contradict?
I'm pretty sure I'm wrong here, but I have a hard time to connect them together.
Uh-huh.
You know, I understand that ignorance is the starting point for everything. And when this happened, that happened.
Uh-huh.
But how do we connect that to karma?
Right. By the way, to the previous person, I have now copied the PDF to the chat. If you are interested, you can download. This is the new PDF I have copied to the chat. Okay, so your question is how we can relate karma to the Patisamuppada? Is it your question?
Yeah. So basically, for example, suppose somebody has some illness and then and suffering. So we know that because the person thinks that this is me and this is my body, and so because of that ignorance, the circle starts and it goes to suffering. And then another person would say that, oh, it is because of your karma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's previous karma.
Right.
So, yeah, so that's why I'm a little bit confused there.
Yeah, actually, it is not a single cause. So if you can remember, actually, we discuss various causes. Say, for example, in the Girimananda Sutta, so if we, there Buddha talks many causes when an illness happen. Say, for example, karma is one reason. Say, wrong food or sort of some kind of imbalance in the food is another reason. Not careful about how you are maintaining your body is another reason. Climatic conditions are another reason. And so likewise, there are many reasons that Buddha mentioned. And therefore, we can't very clearly say, okay, this is the exact reason. So that is in a way beyond our capacity. But we can do a fair guess. It may be due to this reason. So we can say like that. So, yeah. So therefore, it is not just a karma. Karma is just one reason, but there are many other reasons as well.
So does that mean dependent origination and karma are two different sides?
Here also karma available. Say for example, if you do various formations, sankhara. So and there you start to purposely think. Suppose we take the example, say eating ice cream. So there we are, before we eating the ice cream, so we are thinking about it. So we intentionally now imagining it. Now this intentional thinking, if we move forward for a long time, So it can lead to kind of a craving, it can lead to kind of a greediness. So this is actually generating karma. And then we even changes to the our bodily karma, not limited to the mind, rather we do the bodily karma as well. So then directly we are sort of taking some action. So action is the karma. So this action is sort of triggered by an intention, chetana. So then it is a karma. So therefore, so we can integrate or we can put karma also, the operation of karma also, this Patisamuppada.
Okay. I understand now.
Yeah, because the sankhara is the mental formations. So that is how we start to construct. We are thinking, we are imagining, we are constructing, we are sort of proliferating. So all these things actually creates, conditions the mind and makes some sort of potential in the mind. So that is where the karma comes to be. And especially when we use our six senses, salayatana, and using which we start to think or taste or take an action or so any of those, so volitionally, then the karma is there.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's very good. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Teruvan Sarnai.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to invite Tutor David. Please ask the next question.
Thank you, Jennifer. Bhante, you spoke about the when you were giving examples, you spoke about Pasavedana, Tanha, Upadana Bhava, and then you went on to talk about Shukha Parideva Dukkha Domanasa. Now, I mean, in ordinary things, we can look into all this and analyze it without much emotion, but now in certain situations, like a sudden death, of a young person, and the parents are devastated. I mean, if you had to advise those parents, how do you go about it? Because it's such a, it is an intense shoka parideva dukkha domanasa bhante. So yes. I just wanted your view on that.
Yeah, actually, the Patisamuppada is one teaching that we can take. Say, considering that there is a huge amount of suffering involved when we are grasping, when we don't establish ourselves on the reality. So we are expecting permanence in an impermanent process. We are expecting lasting happiness from where there is no such lasting happiness is available. We are expecting some sort of a self-behavior, kind of an individual behavior, from where there is no such kind of a self process. So this is where we actually have kind of a wrong notion, kind of a wrong understanding. So the very, very perception is wrong. In a way, kind of vipallasa. So that is, in a way, we grasp, okay, thinking that there's a person, there is my son, there is my daughter, so she or he is mine, and she or he should behave as I like. He or she could not give me any kind of a suffering, and she or he can live as much as he or she like, as much as I like. So we have this kind of an expectation. When someone else go through that difficulty, we don't feel much. But when it happens to us, so it directly affects us, and it directly felt. So it is unbearable. So this is one way of explaining, but on the other hand, we have to take various other actions, like, okay, we have to sympathize on this person, we have to try to convince this particular person, we have to associate this person and have some sort of a, say, companionship, give some time for her grievings. Sort of association should be there rather than simply neglecting. And actually it takes time, because this particular person may now deny the death, cannot accept this reality. So his mind now denies the reality, rather he want to live in the past experience, how he has enjoyed with the child, and all these memories are coming to the mind, and all these are now he's chewing again and again. Now all those are all memories, but he is taking them to the mind, to the surface of the mind, and start to proliferate, and that actually aggravates the situation, because he is not letting go of those thoughts, letting go of those memories, and accept the reality. Rather, he is resisting the reality, resisting the reality, and want to live in the past. He had some good time with the child, and he wants to enjoy that past rather than accepting the present moment, in a way. So we have to strategically bring him to the present moment slowly. It is not that immediately we can simply say, okay, this is karma, why are you crying? You just have to do this, do that. So that may not help, because it is true. It is true as a third person we can say like that. But the person, when he is going through it by himself, so it's an immense amount of suffering. So,
exactly.
So that we have to slowly do some sort of a counseling process, try to convince him slowly. And in a way, it's a kind of a reality that he has to accept.
It's not easy, Bhante. I mean, because it, as you say, because it doesn't happen to us, we can say all these things.
Yes.
But the fact of the matter is that this particular child, young student, you know, got a severe allergy and suddenly passed on.
Yeah.
And the parents are devastated. So when it happens to us, I mean, we will also, with all the dhamma and everything, Bhante, we will also be totally you know, devastated and have the show of Parideva Dukkadovanasa, because we are all human, Bhante.
Yeah, so that's a thing. So we have to slowly mature ourselves. Now, you can remember probably that what happened to Vishakha when she got her, I think, granddaughter passed away.
Yeah.
So grandchild passed away, and he came to the Buddha and she cried. But she is a Sotapanna. And then Buddha give various similes, like he asked, would you like all your, say, would you like, you have many grandchildren? Then she says, yes, yes, why not? How about having many grandchildren in this whole city of Shravasti? Then she said, yes, why not? I like to have many of those children. Then he asked, how many deaths are happening in this Shravasti? Then again she said, okay, there are many deaths are happening. Every day there is a death. Then Buddha put the point. Then Vishakha, you have to cry every day, because you have many children all around the Shravasti, and every day there is a death, and all are your children, and you are crying every day. Then she put the answered, Bhante, I understood the problem. I understood the point. So the grasping is there. Grasping is making you suffer. So say for example, now there are children happening, dying in, suppose, another country, in India. Now are you crying? Are you crying?
No.
No. Why? Because it is, it may be, exactly, that's the problem. So we are not grasping them. We don't consider them as my child. So when it happens to my child, then I cry. So the grasping is the issue. So I have narrowed down my mind, and now I have selected a particular child as my child. And if something happens to my child, I am worried. But if something happened to another child, I am not much concerned about it. I may simply say, oh my God, what to do? It's maybe karma. That's it. Then we forget it. But if it happened to my child, then I suffer for a long, long time. Even during the whole lifetime, I may be even suffering.
Because there are some parents who are like that, Bhante.
Yes.
However much the Dhamma they know, I mean, they're devastated.
Exactly. So that is where we should understand this reality. So we have strong grasping, considering that he is mine, she is mine, she is my daughter, he is my son. So likewise, we have strong grasping. But I mean, it's common to all human beings. And we should accept this bitter reality in a way. So we also may die one day. And others, our loved ones also will die one day. And if we are able to understand some, I mean, it is not some sort of making yourself indifferent or quite what to say, not having any feelings. Rather, you really feel it. You really feel it, but still, there's a strong wisdom. Have good support in your mind. So that is where the strong wisdom, vipassana, is quite important. So you yourself have understood the reality. Simple knowing of Dhamma for the say is not enough. Rather, you should practically went through the understanding, you should practically experience that understanding. How transient is this whole process? How can have a person here? How can have a self here? So if we have a person, if we have a self, if we have any kind of a control, we should be able to completely free from any suffering. Suppose you got a kind of a sickness. So we, none of them like this sickness. So we should be, I mean, if we have whole control, I should be able to completely quickly keep it out, keep it away, and again regain my health. But I can't do that. So I need to have a lot of support from medicine and all this, this and that. Because it is not in our control. That is the point actually Buddha highlight in the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, where if any of these aggregates belong to me, then I should be able to keep them under my control. Since they are not under my control, so they are subjected to various illnesses. Yeah.
Yes, Mante, that is right. But, you know, it is, in reality, I mean, you know, how it is a very difficult thing, Mante.
Yes, yes.
I mean, you know, simple things, your material things and all that, that we can deal with quite efficiently at this stage of our you know, Dhamma. But when it comes to you know, the real world, the humans, the more you develop, the more you're going to be unattached.
Yeah.
It's a really difficult process, Bhante, and as you said, it is a process which slowly evolves. It has an evolving quality.
Exactly, exactly. So how much we can bear is a kind of an evolving quality. So at the beginning, suppose before our practice, before the beginning of our practice, suppose we are crying to each and everything, even a pencil is broken, I am crying, even my, eraser is broken, I am crying. So if suppose we have that sort of a mentality, then suppose we are now developing and then we don't bother about such things. But still, if I am being hurt, suppose someone is looked down me, someone neglected me, then I am really sort of hurt. So that level is there. Then after that, suppose that level is also gone. Now even someone neglects, so I don't care. So I can withstand that. I can bear it. But still I am crying if my child die or my parent die or whatever. So the most closely people still I am holding. So because that level of attachment is still there. So likewise, it's a kind of a gradual process. We can't immediately remove all our attachments. So it's a kind of a gradual process.
But I think that is, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, it's at the arahat level that you actually, you drop all those things.
I think it's the anagami level, non-returner level. Uh-huh. So there's a very beautiful example given in the Buddha's teaching during the Buddha's time. You probably have heard about Kosala Mallika. Sorry, not Kosala Mallika, Bandula Mallika. So Bandula Mallika is a minister's wife. So this minister is called Bandula. So he had, I think, 30 or 16 sons. I think 16. Yeah. 16 sons were there. And all were really mighty children. So they all were in the army of the King Kosala. And one day, King Kosala got a wrong tip, telling that this the minister, this Bandula and his sons are trying to sort of attack him or something like that. Then he uses such army and he killed everyone. This is the Bandula and the 16 sons, everybody killed. So at that time actually this Bandula Mallika, the wife, is actually offering some dana at his house, at her house. So at that time Venerable Sariputta was there, the other monks were there. And what happened was, she got the message while offering food during the Dana period that all his husband and the children were killed. And she was not shocked. So can you imagine? And she continued. So she continued to
imagine, Bhante.
Yeah, that's, so that's the point. So Venerable Sariputta wants to highlight her sort of the bearing, the kind of endurance, unshakability. So unshakability, Venerable Sariputta wants to highlight, and he make a point when this Bandhu Mallika to speak, and then she spoken that I got this message, I am not shaken by this, so I am continue to do this, and like that, I like that. So she was well established. So that is why, I mean, so these are the levels, different levels that we are talking.
Of course.
So that,
of course,
yeah, so that's why, I mean, we immediately can't come to that level. So we have to slowly improve ourselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But we have to practice at the lower levels.
Definitely.
And
definitely.
Go up. And then it is a gradual thing, as you say, and it will come.
Yeah.
But there has to be some kind of time frame.
Correct. Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to invite Mahisha to please ask the next question.
Thanks, Jennifer. Bhante, I would like actually to know a bit about this whole trail of happenings starting from avidya. So like I heard it saying by different teachers, like avidya paccaya sankara, sankara paccaya vijnana, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You also said now a while ago, I really like to know that trail of happenings, because I like to explore and learn about it more.
Right. So I took one example, and that is about the eating an ice cream. So let's take another example. Say you want to enjoy cricket. And suppose there's a match between Sri Lanka and Australia. And still you being a Sinhalese, suppose you want to support Sri Lanka. And now you got the news that there's a match between Sri Lanka and Australia. Now you think, okay, I can enjoy this match. Now there's a kind of, in a way we'll tell this as an ignorance. And now you start to think about it. Now you are creating such thoughts in the mind, constructing that thoughts in the mind. Now vijjapaccha sankhara, now sanskara, sankhara means formations. Now various things, thoughts are going on in the mind. And as a result of that, now say certain even pictures of previous matches are popping up in your mind. How another player played like beautifully, how he played a sixer, four runs, whatever it is. And now certain pictures also happen in the mind. Now those pictures further enhance the establishment of consciousness. This consciousness and nama rupa are interrelated. And then you want to watch the cricket match. Now, namurupa paccha salayatana. Now the salayatana, six sense bases, now catching the momentum. Now we are moving towards the TV. Now we are switching on the TV. Once you switched on, now your eyes are quite open. Now that means the chakku ayatana, the eyes are involved. And you can hear the sounds, the cheering sounds, all the noises. Now you can hear. Now you are involved in the ears as well. Suppose you take some food also, and you are now tasting that food while you are, watching the match. And your, tongue is also in the action. Now you take a very comfortable seat and you sit there, and now you feel the comfort as well from the body. So likewise, all the six sense bases are now into action, and as a result of that, the contact happens, the ear with sides, the sorry, the eyes with sights, ear with sounds, tongue with various tastes, the mind with all the various, say, the thinking, and all these things are now, all the six sense bases are in contact with the corresponding sense impingements. As a result of that, a lot of feelings. Now you get thrills and you get frills and you are happy. Sometimes you are excited. Sometimes you are worried. So all the kind of feelings are there. So now you start that you are grasping. So I want to watch more. I want what's going to happen next. This is tanha, the craving. The craving has the quality always anticipating to the future. What's going to happen next? What would be the next moment? So all these anticipations, all this thinking, all this desiring. So now you are grasping. You are in a completely different world now. You are not in your house, but you are in the cricket field. You are in the cricket world. Now you are enjoying this cricket world. Now you are in the cricket world. Now you are born into the cricket world. You are reborn into the cricket world. Now you are enjoying it. Suppose now the cricket Sri Lankans were playing, but Australians were quite happy and quite strong. They quickly, out everybody. Now the whole cricket Sri Lankan cricket team were quickly finished their innings, and you are quite unhappy. Oh, what happened? I was trying to enjoy this whole match. These fellows have completely ruined the match. So now definitely they will get defeated. So you are worried. You are unhappy. You are collapsed. You are frustrated. Now the soka parideva dukkha domana supayasa sambhavanti. So like that. So you can apply to all these kind of many situations, daily activities, how this various kind of frustrations, various kind of graspings, various kinds of sorrows happens in our mind. If those are happening, this Paticchasamuppada has operated in our mind very quickly. Actually, I have given a kind of an example just to show you, in order to happen this, it may not take long time. Just for the explanation, I have taken a little expanded view to you to explain it. But in order to happen this, it may not take long time. Yeah, so likewise, you can apply to various experiences how the suffering is caused because of this causal relationship.
Yeah, okay, Bhante, thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay, I think there are no other questions. Jennifer, shall we wind up then?
That's correct, Bhante.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so now today you can go to sleep a bit early. Isn't it, Jennifer?
Yes,
okay, so thank you very much for everyone's participation. So we'll wind up actually Samma Ditti today, and probably next week we can start another part. And let's share the merits with all the beings, and let's recite the traditional verses. Ittavataca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ittavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ittavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasattha ca bhummattha deva naga mahiddika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu sasanang. Akasattha ca bhummattha deva naga mahiddika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu desanam. Akasattha ca bhummattha devanaga mahiddika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu mamparam. Idam vo ñātīnaṃ hotu sukhitā hontu ñātayo. Idam vo ñātīnaṃ hotu sukhitā hontu ñātayo. Idam vo ñātīnaṃ hotu sukhitā hontu ñātayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤකම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තියා සාදු සාදු සාදු.